The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday. Man in Line with you through till 1. There are 285 people waiting for the result of a COVID-19 test at the moment. 354 people booked in for a test today. No new cases as of 4 o'clock yesterday. We have two active cases, both isolating in the community. We have no positive cases today. It'll be 9 days since the last one. 62,409 first doses of the vaccine have been administered. 30,874 second doses. Over the next 7 days, 7,325 people are booked in for a jab, and the DHSC is holding 20,025 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. Big news yesterday. There was a media briefing, seems ages since we had one, but there he was again, and enforcing restrictions on people who haven't been fully vaccinated against COVID-19 isn't meant to discriminate against them. Did you hear yesterday, did you listen to the Chief Minister with the Health and Social Care Minister, Director of Public Health? The message from the Chief Minister, he was challenged on the government's approach to relaxing border restrictions. What's your opinion?
It follows the decision to allow people who've received both doses of a coronavirus vaccine unrestricted travel to the island from June the 28th. That means no testing and no self-isolation. For those who can't be vaccinated, who choose not to take the vaccine, and even those who are partway through their vaccine journey, it's a different story. They'll be subject to isolation until they've produced a negative test and a further test at day 6. But with younger members of society last in the queue for the vaccine, Manx Radio asked Howard Quayle and the Health and Social Care Minister if the new rules were discriminating against those who many argue have made sacrifices to keep the vulnerable safe, but who now can't enjoy the same freedoms as they do.
When our young people are vaccinated, they will be able to be part of the 2+2. We are ahead of the United Kingdom in giving our 18-year-olds the vaccination, and therefore in a short period of time, in a couple of months' time, they will be able to have this too. I understand the frustration, but at the end of the day, our aim is to protect the people of the Isle of Man. And if I was much younger, I would be thinking myself lucky that I wasn't at the bad risk that people of my age and older are facing.
What I would say is we've got to remember what this is all about. This is about the island trying to get back to normality, to allowing more people into the island, be that a residence to travel easier or family to be able to come into the island. We've got to remember that even if someone doesn't decide, they don't want the vaccine, the pathway for them coming back to the island is very different than what it used to be. Now, I've always very publicly stated I don't believe in mandatory vaccination. I would urge everyone to go out and get the vaccine personally, but I respect the fact that's people's choice. But the pathway now for anyone who doesn't wish to do that at the moment, and it is a temporary measure, is that they come back, they do one test, and then they are released, and then a surveillance test on day 6. So in general circumstances, their isolation period is 24 hours.
What do you think of what happened yesterday? Do you think it is fair? Discriminatory at all? Any thoughts on the matter? Text 166177. Call 66 13 68, email studio at manxradio.com. Oh, by the way, traffic lights at the junction of Railway Hill, Athol Street and Lord Street were out as about half an hour ago. They may be fixed, but if you're in the middle of a big jam around Railway Hill, Athol Street and Lord Street, that is the reason. It must be the thing today as well. The roadworks at Gansey going south, the green light wasn't working earlier on. So hopefully if that's mended, just give us a call or a text just to say everything's okay at Gansey or indeed at Railway Hill, Athol Street and Lord Street in Douglas. Just one of those days today.
Regarding the new border conditions, I think the government have done a great job in the last year, but this time the arrangements are very worrying. If people can now freely come here from anywhere, having had two jabs, and return from anywhere, and bearing in mind that these two jabs do not give us 100% protection. Why are we taking big risks when less than half of the population have had two vaccinations? The Delta variant is 60% more transmissible, and the cases in the UK are rising every day. I understand the concerns of businesses, but the consequences for the population of the island could be worse. Why can't we wait a few weeks and hopefully see the UK numbers start dropping? And why not some test for anyone that arrives here? And do you think the people will be honest about having had two jabs? It's all very, very, very worrying.
Some questions in regarding these letters, concerns that some may not be able to use the online service. Paper COVID-19 vaccine certificates will be available for people who can't use the UK NHS app. The Manx government says it's in the final stages of allowing electronic certificates for proof of vaccination from June 28th. Those who are fully vaccinated won't be subject to testing or isolation when entering the Isle of Man. It's led to concerns that not everybody's going to be able to use the online service, but you will be able to apply for an electronic certificate, basically a letter with a barcode on it. That let's just hope the barcode works, eh? Messages in regarding parking. We were talking about those parking spaces disappearing in Ramsey. And also a question in which we're going to put to try and get an answer from police later on today. What is the state of play at Abbotswood? Those people that were under arrest and the possibility of criminal action. There were some rumblings around on social media earlier on today. So we'll try and get a question into police today or what the situation is with Abbotswood. I understood Abbotswood is firmly locked up, but has apparently been completely refurbished inside.
If people can't get parked, either in Ramsey or Douglas or anywhere else on the island, they will not go into town to do shopping. So evidently, what will happen is they'll do more online shopping. So therefore, the shops will suffer, the government will suffer in revenue. Do they want to still keep losing money and put businesses out of trading?
14 minutes past 12, a note in just said, Mr. Ashford said that Manx medical data wouldn't be included in a UK database. So can somebody explain how the UK NHS app, will hold vaccine data as to whether or not you travel? Is it just going to hold that bit of data, or will it hold other sorts of data? Data's everything, will be in the future, is now. Too early to open the borders. There's a mess in the northwest of the UK. I don't think we should be doing it, says that anonymous correspondent. The relaxation of rules, says Marie, for our borders just seem a bit off, bearing in mind the UK are putting things on hold. As Minister Ashford and Dr. Hewitt kept reminding us, we're only as safe as the last person through the border. Here's Phil on Man in Line. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Andy. It's just a thing. I paid my mum's telephone bill up at Onken this morning, and the sub-postmaster was saying, he says, do you know that from the 1st of July, that to get a paper bill each month, Manx Telecom are going to charge you £3 or £2.75 a month?
Now, was that... So, obviously, you're not on direct debit, are you?
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, my mum's 93, so she gets the post office stamps. So she gets a statement each month, similar to us, but we're direct debit. But it says here, I've got the bill in front of me, Andy. It says, from July the 1st, the charge for a paper bill will increase by £2.50 plus VAT. If you no longer wish to receive a paper bill, please visit their mt.im.
Now, this was brought up a couple of weeks ago, and I think somebody... So, is it if you pay by direct debit, you don't pay the £2.50, or is it... So, you pay your mum's at the post office, yeah?
Yes, we pay that monthly, right? Now, she hasn't got a bank account or anything like that. So obviously she gets the stamps and we pay, you know, we go over and see Mr. Patel. But we, on our bill in Onken here, we're direct debit, yeah. But the thing is, we still get a paper bill, we still got a monthly bill through the post. So, you know, they'll be adding £2.75 a month. So that's nearly £33 a year.
How do you feel about that? Because they'll say it's to save the planet.
Well, it's putting another nail in the coffin of the post office, to be truthful. You know, because I used to be a postman, and I used to obviously deliver the bills. But they're going to go if they're going to go paperless, isn't it?
It seems everybody's trying to do that. In fact, the government did that with the post office over the census. They took funds away from the post office.
Well, but the thing is there, Andy, that it's still the post office is a different department, but the post office was still the government will still get revenue for the stamps and that, you know, for the cost of the.
And some would say also that the post office, Alaman Post Office, is a public utility.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things that if you don't have utilities, life is worse. If there's no gas, water or electricity or telecoms or letters delivered, would life be worse? Well, probably yes. So, but, I mean, they will say that, you know, by not sending these letters out, then we're going to be saving on paper and wood and trees and environment. And for that, you have to pay £2.75 odd.
£2, yeah. Honestly, but as I say, we're not on the internet, but we went direct debit probably 3 or 4 years ago. So I think the only thing would be to go down to Telecom and say, what's going on? And, you know, if that's going to be the case, I'll shoot off to Shua or somewhere else. But we've been with Telecom for 40-odd years.
All right. Okay, Phil, thanks for calling.
All right, cheers, Andy.
Good to talk to you. Gillian's with us now. Hello, Gillian.
Oh, hello, Andy.
Oh, Julian. Sorry, nice Julian. Day. Yeah. Yes, good. Thank you. Yes.
I just wanted to speak about the vaccines, really. And, of course, Ben Scott's been on the radio, and there is a very, very good point there. But I suppose I'd really want to kind of explain what the people who have reservations about this, especially people who've had vaccines before, as to why they've got a bit of a problem with the new one at the moment.
Readers start here. You mentioned Ben Scott. He's written to several MHKs saying that the move is a state-backed segregated society and a division of rights.
Yes. So I want to put into context what actually everyone else is thinking that's on the other side, you might say.
Okay.
So you're familiar with the MHRA, which is the Medicines and Health Regulatory Agency, which was on the invitation letters for the vaccines.
Uh-huh.
They have a yellow card system, which is a voluntary vaccine adverse event reporting system. They are currently reporting 1,295 deaths, 923,000 injuries, of which 686,000 are serious. The European reporting system is called EUDRA Vigilance, so that's EUDRA, VIGI, LANCE. The European Union are reporting 13,867 deaths, 1.4 million injuries, of which over 500,000 are serious. Now, the United States have a system called VAERS, or VAERS, which is Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And the easiest way to see exactly what's going on there, if anybody's listening that's got a computer or a screen handy, you go to openvaers.com. So OPEN, V for Victor, AERS.com. When you get into that page, you click on the top left little menu and you select Red Boxes Summary Page. That summary page in the US at the moment is showing 5,888 deaths, 19,597 hospitalizations, 43,891 urgent care, 58,800 office visits, 1,459 anaphylaxes, 1,737 Bell's palsy, and I might say I know somebody on the island that's just had that, 2,190 heart attacks, 5,885 life-threatening, and 4,583 disabled. A Harvard study from 5 years ago found that this voluntary reporting system in the States was reporting roughly 1% of the true figure, although nobody can say, but it could be 10%. To put all that into perspective, back in 2009, there was a swine flu epidemic. Now, that vaccine was called Pandemrix, which is P-A-N-D-E-M-R-I-X. It was given to 5 million people in Europe. It was found to cause narcolepsy, which is where you're basically driving, walking, flying, whatever, and you just fall asleep. And it was especially prevalent in young people. That caused 3,807 injuries. 1,138 of those were serious, but only 47 were fatal, and it was pulled straight away. So if you take the totals at the moment, you've got 21,050 people dead in three jurisdictions only. So my question is, where's the brakes on this?
What's your opinion?
My opinion is that the media should be reporting what's going on these quite easy to find systems, because with anything else, you've got risk to benefit analysis. Now, we're being told that the young people should get vaccinated. Right, okay. But if you look at what, say, Michael Eden, who is the retired vice president of Pfizer, following the figures and taking into account what are the chances of young people dying from COVID, he's saying that the vaccine is 50 times more likely to kill a young person than getting COVID and getting over it.
When you say young person, at what age?
Well, effectively, if you look at the data, really, anybody under 60 who doesn't have four comorbidities is pretty much going to get over it, especially if they look after things like their vitamin D levels. Of course, in the Isle of Man for the last 5 years, I believe the vitamin D is not sampled when you go for your blood. So, unfortunately, you have to be tested on the island for it. You have to pay for it.
Okay.
Which seems odd.
Let's just draw all these strands together then. In a couple of paragraphs, what's your opinion of what the Manx government should do regarding this?
I think that the stuff that I've been talking about, like EUDRA Vigilance, which is the official European Union reporting system, the yellow card system in the UK, and the VAERS system in America should be looked into and should be at least broadcast to people so they can make a risk-to-benefit analysis of it, especially for their children.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for that point today, Julian. He was talking about the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, V-A-E-R-S, also EUDRA Vigilance, E-U-D-R-A Vigilance, and the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency as well. Thanks for those points, Julian. We appreciate all points of view on Man in Line, and it's going to be interesting to see exactly where we go from the 28th of June. Now, bearing in mind reported cases are going up in the UK, bearing in mind the Delta variant or the Indian variant they're talking about, exactly what happens with that, well, we'll see. Right, text 166-177, email studio, manxradio.com, call 66-1360. We may hear from Ben Scott. Ben was the local guy who was lobbying MHKs to reverse the decision not to allow those who haven't had a COVID jab to travel unrestricted between the island and the UK, claiming it shows a lack of respect. Howard now. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Well, lovely day.
Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful. I'm just going out afterwards in an hour or so's time to our great-grandson. They're doing a cross-country run in Foxtail. And it's a different school on the island, I believe. So I'll go out there and spend a pleasant couple of hours out there watching all the children running.
You're not walking the parish walk tomorrow, are you, Howard?
Walk the walk and talk the talk. No, I don't think so. No, just listen to that chap on there and reciting statistics, etc. We could all do that. You go down the same road for the number of people that die in road accidents throughout the world and the various other illnesses, everything like that. You can quote them and you can move them around to suit your own needs, etc. Statistics, and more damn lies, as the man in the world said. But that's not what I was coming on for. I was listening to that chap that was early on about Manx Telecom. A lot of people remember that the gas company did a similar exercise, in so much that not if you didn't receive a paper bill, because we still do, But if you didn't pay by direct debit, you lost your discount, which was, I don't know, about 2%. So in other words, they were literally forcing you to go from paying at the post office, which we could do, or they were direct debit.
Well, they couch it in all sorts of terms, Howard, but everybody knows what they want to do. They want to get everybody on paperless and paying by direct debit.
You're breaking up there, Andy.
Oh, I think it's your signal, Howard.
Can
you hear me, Howard? Can you hear me, Howard?
Hello.
Oh dear, we'll try and call you back, Howard. Has he been paying his bill?
At the end of the day, a lot of people who are deciding not to have a vaccine are very healthy, and the reason they're deciding not to have a vaccine is because they value their health.
That's the voice of Ben Scott. This is the man we were talking about, who says it is discriminatory. This whole thing is discriminatory. You're preventing younger people, basically, travelling.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
At Tells Skip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677 137. That's 677 137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
Crossroads is proud to have taken over the runnings at the Manx Workshop. Providing paid employment for the disabled, the Manx Workshop makes a range of high-quality products. Everything from trophy engraving to garden benches. The Manx Workshop have a rich history of working on the island for over 30 years, and Crossroads is proud to have them on board. See crossroadsiom.org to find out more.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting care as first.
Office World at Spring Valley is the island's largest one-stop shop for packaging materials. We stock everything from huge rolls of bubble wrap to single envelopes, padded bags, mailing tubes, labels, packaging tape, storage boxes, and much more. Office World has everything you need to package your goods safely and securely. Office World is also home to the island's largest stationery store, with over 4,000 products under one roof, with free parking right outside the front door. It has to be Office World at Spring Valley Estate, Braddon.
85 miles, 24 hours, a massive challenge for both physical and mental endurance. The Manx Telecom Parish Walk is on this weekend.
He is coming across the finish line now to, again, rapturous applause. Here, he's done it!
It's one of the biggest events in the Manx sporting calendar, and with no race last year because of the pandemic, nearly 1,900 people will be at the start line on Saturday morning. It all gets underway at 8 o'clock, and Manx Radio will be there every step of the way with live reports on air right through till 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. We'll also have full coverage on our social media pages with live videos on Facebook right throughout the day. Manx Radio, your parish walk station.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
12:30, Howard. Back. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I don't know what happened there. Cut off in me prime. No, I was just saying about the several years ago, we're on gas and we use it for our heating and various other aspects. But we did get a letter saying that if you didn't change over to direct debit, your discount that you're getting on your account will be removed. And that wasn't just me, it was everybody that was on the system. But we've got a classic example recently of where one of the Manx utilities, I think it was, they took the money out too early, which could affect people's accounts, and they could go into an overdrawn condition, you know, with the bank, where if they have a bill for a couple of £100, when they go overdrawn for a couple of £100, they suddenly get charges on top of that. And that was, I think, one of the local utilities. But if you're not going to pay direct debit, then we're going to charge you 2.5% extra for your gas, and that's what it amounted to. So how many other the other firms like this are going to utter the same and similar threats?
And they'll badge it that they're saving the world by not sending paper out.
But we still get a paper bill.
Oh crikey!
Yeah, we get a paper bill, which I keep. Because they're all on file. But having said that, it's only because I keep an eye on the utilities, etc. But that aside, it was the discount that they were offering. They were taken away from people if they didn't pay direct debit. People were going to post offices and paying, and that discount would have been removed. So, you know, it's an indirect threat to your ability to pay.
Well, it's a bit much, isn't it?
Well, as I don't know whether the electricity company did it, but I can pay that still through the post office and still get the discount on it. The telephone company, well, I'm on e-bill for them anyway. That was my own choice. But there's a lot of people budget for it. And if, as I say, they're going to take a direct debit 3 or 4 days before the actual bill is due, you could end up with an overdraft and there with the relevant charges.
Okay. All right, Howard, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
Take care. Bye now.
All right, now, 28 minutes before one. Just a quick word. Yesterday, we were at King William's College. Next Thursday, Man in Line will be live at Castle Russian High School in Castletown. We'll be out the week after that, St Ninian's High School. And the week after that, we're going to be at QE2 as well. And also, the 30th, that is, I think the 30th is it next week? No, the week after next. Tim Baker, the infrastructure minister, will be live on Man in Line if you want to talk to him about those roundels, which he said are going to be absolutely fine. Oh, quick word. There is a farmer's market on today at Onken Village Walk. It's on today. Farmer's market also on tomorrow in Ramsey, and on Sunday, as it's the 1-2-3rd Sunday of the month, Colby Football Club. So today, Onken Village Walk, tomorrow, Ramsey, and Sunday, Colby Football Club for Isle of Man Farmers Market. Lots of messages coming in today. As a household, we're disappointed, says this correspondent, that the relaxation of restrictions didn't extend to everyone. Opening up's brilliant, well overdue. And I hope the Manx government are backing this up with an extensive advertising campaign to attract tourists for their mask and socially distanced free holiday. However, the fact that younger Manx people still need to pay a family of four will be £120 plus the risk of a 14-day isolation seems very unfair when they've given up so much to protect the very few people who were ever vulnerable. Let's open up as soon as possible. And let's market the Isle of Man to the rest of Britain. Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, Andy. Just a remark, I suppose, about all these figures that we keep getting. They all seem to be one lot one day, the next day they're totally different.
Can you make sense of the figures, Elizabeth?
Sorry?
Can you make sense of all the figures?
I can't. Well, I possibly could, but not the figures of where they're going now. They're all over the place. But my older brother, always used to say you could do anything you liked with figures. You could twist them, you could turn them, you could work out whatever you wanted, you could make with figures. And I think that is what is going on now.
Have you had both vaccinations, Elizabeth?
Yes.
So do you feel safe now?
Of course I do. Why shouldn't I?
You're not doing the parish walk tomorrow, are you, Elizabeth?
Not at 98.
Oh,
no.
Well, okay. Well, you never know.
Not at 98, Andy.
Thanks for calling, Elizabeth. Have a lovely weekend.
It's till Battle of Britain Day.
Jolly.
September.
All right. Thank you. Oh, we'll be talking more about that next week on Man in Line. Have a lovely weekend. Have Mr. Quayle and Mr. Ashford ever read the equality laws that they passed? Also, the Isle of Man comes under the UN Discrimination Treaty. Will this break all the regulations? Well, you could try. That's Texter 384, frequent Texter 384 as well. It's definitely, I think we should definitely wait those few extra weeks like the UK. I think it makes more sense to do that, says Richard. How many people are left to be vaccinated? I wonder, will we adopt mandatory vaccines for healthcare workers? Because no vaccine, no job seems to be is coercion, possibly blackmail, says Terry. That's not a choice. Whatever happened to my body, my choice? The mantra used by the pro-abortionist people. If the vulnerable have had their two vaccines, what, if any, will a non-vaccinated what danger will a non-vaccinated person pose, says Terry as well. Lots to take in and assess the risk of the new normal, says Andy. But Paul Moulton asked those very interesting questions yesterday. He was getting a bit tetchy yesterday, wasn't he, Paul Moulton? He wants to be back in the room with the flesh and blood, I think, rather than sitting on Zoom. How many of those thousands of arrivals on the Isle of Man have been tested of those who were positive? And how many of the positives have had two vaccines? The answer was nil. Interesting, assuming the data was right. But please, why not wait until the whole island has had two jabs, says Andy. Well, you can't force to have people to have a jab. That's the point. But right from the beginning, Mr. Ashworth has said, vaccination is not mandatory. Obviously, non-vaccination will have its consequences, but it's not mandatory. A message in just to say, well done to the Isle of Man government for moving forward. People who are vaccinated, they can travel. If you couldn't travel, why have the vaccine? If you don't want the vaccine, that's your choice. I just wish people would stop moaning, says James. Just stop moaning and live their life. As a chance that some people won't get the chance as well. Note in just to say, what planet are they on? Just as British COVID numbers are doubling every 11 days and they're restricting again, the Isle of Man is relaxing its focus. England and Scotland are now red to other countries. We were told we were going to be led by the science. The Isle of Man is being led by the money and its hospitality sector. The hospital is actually full. Well, you don't know that, Rob, if you give me some proof. Any COVID patients requiring hospitalisation will cause Ward 2 to close and all the occupants turfed out. Is this a risk we want to have? The last few days, numbers are going up, says Rob. Notes in just to say, though I think it's too early to be opening the borders, I agree the Isle of Man can restrict those who've not had the vaccine. They can't enter without testing. You're not allowed to go and return to other countries without certain vaccines. So to me, that's no different. And it's not as if they need to do 14 days isolation as they used to. Derek joins us, our man in line now. Hello, Derek.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Derek.
Yeah, how you doing? I've got a good one here for you, Andy. We've just had a letter delivered here this morning from, I presume it's from Ramsey Group Practice.
Yeah.
To say that 111 hasn't informed them whether we've had a vaccination or not.
And have you?
We both had our vaccinations. One was on the 7th of the 2nd, 21, and the other one was the 7th of the 3rd, 21. And then we tried to phone Ramsey Group Practice, and nobody's answering the phone. The left hand doesn't appear to know what the right hand is doing. It's just, to me, it's another cock-up by this government.
Well, have a lovely weekend, Derek.
Yeah. Cheers now.
All right. Thanks for calling. Here's Wilf on Man in Line. Hello, Wilf.
I'm a bit croaky today. But I was just to put you straight. You had it slightly wrong when you were talking about parking spaces on the quay,
yeah,
which we're supposed to lose. From the first plan that we got, it's 62 spaces.
62.
Not 45.
And where does 62. This go? Where does it go from to?
Right. Well, it's in the beginning. We asked several years ago, could they do something about the parking on the quay? And the highway board come back along and put the chevron parking on. Now, we didn't like it. But now, I'm afraid, it's become a necessary evil. It's full. Like today, tomorrow, it'll be full. But further down, where they're talking about this silly glass wall, they want to put a half moon shaped big piece of concrete, whatever you like to call it. You can't drive over. Opposite the pub, I'd call it a sitting out area. Now that's where you're going to lose a lot of car parking spaces.
So this is basic. This is from the commercial to the swing bridge. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So all those all those spaces between the commercial and the swing bridge are going.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And some down the other side, which we're talking about. Paviors, which they want, I don't know, maybe they got a lot left over or something, that they want to use up on the pavements down the other side of the quay, on the mitre side. You're going to lose spaces there because they're going to put projections out, stuck out in the road, like they have in Parliament Street, to put bin stores and things on.
Wilf, is this the commissioners or is it DOI? Whose idea is this?
Oh, DOI, but most of the commissioners were for it, except me, out of the 12. I was the only one that said no from the beginning, because I've seen the flooding. I'm 77 now, and I've seen the flooding all my life. Now, all that's required to stop the flooding is a wall where the chains go 2 foot high. If you go to the swing bridge, you'll see the electric boxes and things that work the swing bridge. Now, those people are not stupid to put them in, and they've put them on blocks not quite 2 foot high. That is obviously for any flood that's going to come in the future, so it doesn't get to the electric supply. So, I mean, they've only got to look at that, and that's the only height you need. You need a wall in place of the chains that you can step over or sit on. It's as simple as that. But we're talking about a glass wall and everything, from the swing bridge down towards the marketplace, where the fishermen work. It's ridiculous. They've got to lift their gear or whatever it is over top of this glass wall. It's absolute madness.
So is this definitely going to happen? And if so, when will it be finished?
Oh, well, it depends if it's the same crew that does Douglas Prom. I don't know. We don't know when that's going to happen. But can you imagine the disruption when they're in the middle of doing it? Actually, the commissioners now have actually said, like, because we're at the end of our tether now, because of the election coming up, so we're leaving it to the next lot to come in. Let them make the decision.
Wilf, are you going to be standing this time?
Well, with my bad back, I'll be sitting.
All right. But, well, it's 4 weeks next Thursday.
Yes, I'll be stuck. If John, like what John Kenyuk says, if I'm spared, I'll be there.
Okay. Well, so 62 spaces going between the swing bridge and the commercial.
52
spaces,
yeah,
going.
We've got some silly rules and regulations that just come along. Now, remember, the DOI put the Chevron parking in. Now they're saying, we want to put the parking in line, so then you lose more spaces. We'll do away with the Chevron, because you need a pavement for the passenger to get out on. Have you ever heard such crap as that? You need a pavement for them to step out on. Now, what about the driver? He's got to step out in the road. Now, they've got used to it now, and they're stepping out now. Nobody's getting run over. It's a lot of nonsense.
All right. Okay, Wilf. What are you taking for your throat, lemon and honey?
I'm taking anything at the moment.
Have a good weekend.
I'll try.
Thanks a lot.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
14 minutes to one. Our candidate today, we're looking at all the candidates standing for keys in the election this year. The candidate today we're looking at is Kevin Oliphant Smith, who's contesting Douglas North.
We all need to make positive personal choices to beat COVID. The risk of infection increases in close contact, confined and crowded settings. When you're out, think hands, face, space and fresh air. Visit covid19.gov.im. Make the right decisions. Be safe. Be smart. Be kind.
For your new bathroom, head to Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Paysetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Paysetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best.
There's only one name you need when it comes to scrap. Castaigne Scrap Metal. Castaigne will scrap all metal and they're licensed to scrap all batteries, including dry cell and lead acid batteries, to get the best prices of copper, lead, aluminium, catalytic converters, brass and more. Remember one name, Castaigne Scrap Metal. Castaigne Scrap Metal. Remember one number, 801337. 801337. Castaigne Scrap Metal.
This weekend, it's Father's Day, and here on The Nation Station, we have a fabulous prize for one lucky dad to win. We've teamed up with Tynwald Mills to win a £100 voucher to spend in store. Tune in across the weekend to play Who's the Daddy? Listen out for the window of opportunity to open and guess the famous celebrity dad that we've posted a hidden picture of on Facebook. Whether it's for your dad, your stepdad, or someone else who is like a father to you, play along and join in to win. The winner will be drawn and announced on Manx Radio Breakfast on Monday. The Manx Radio Father's Day winning weekend in with Tynwald Mills. Great brands, fun shopping.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Bob's with us. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Andy. This whole discrimination thing, I'm not bothered about the holiday discrimination that everyone's talking about. It's the discrimination of the people who haven't had the jab are going to be tracked and traced and locked up, even though they possibly haven't even got the virus. Yet the people who have had the jabs can go about their business, leave the house with COVID, spread the COVID around. Yeah, someone that hasn't had the jab and is healthy can get phoned up by government at any moment of the day and told, there's no, you are staying in, you're locked up until we say you can come out.
So what do you think the government, I mean, the government's kind of damned whatever they do. What do you think the government should do?
Well, it seems to be a vendetta against the unjabbed.
So what do you think they should do? Just say, well, it doesn't matter if you haven't had the vaccine. That's okay anyway.
Well, if you haven't had the vaccine, you think it's fair that you can get rung up and told to isolate when there's no evidence to suggest you've got COVID? Yet, if you've had the jab, you can go out with COVID.
So, just let's get this straight. What do you think the government should do? You don't think this. You obviously don't think this is equitable, do you?
Well, do you think that's fair? That
well, hang on. My opinion. Up? My opinion's neither here nor there. It's your show.
Right. Well, the way I see it is, if the unjabbed didn't, well, if they went out, caught COVID, then yeah, you stay at home and you isolate until you feel better, and then you go back out, like we've always done.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your call. Thanks for that.
All right.
9 minutes to one, we are. Strange, says Pat. Manx people begged for financial help from the government to get through COVID. The government came through with it. Now the shoe's on the other foot. The government want to get everybody vaccinated. Some people are saying no. Well, actually, Pat put it quite stronger than that, but anyway, so I think, says Pat, it's quite simple. No vaccine, no travel. Excessive medical intervention may be the cause of these different variants of the virus, says Vic. Ah, that brings me to a note I had. I think it was from Was it Trevor the other day who just said, I sent a message to my immune system the other day saying I still believe in you. I wish people would believe in their immune system. If people refuse the vaccination, says Dewan, and then become ill with the virus, who's going to pay for the treatment? A message in just to say, statistics can be made to say anything. Vitamin D hasn't been proven to help at all. Andy said, stop scaring people regarding the vaccination from internet medics. Please use experts. Don't scare people on the Isle of Man into wrong decisions. Perhaps you should arrange an on-air forum with the caller and the health minister to present a balanced view. Well, everybody's welcome to call the man in line. And remember, there's only one judge of whether you think what people are saying is right or wrong. That's you.
The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
Keys General Election, 23rd of September. We're hearing from everybody who's standing, and a Manx Care employee, Kelvin Oliphant-Smith, is contesting a seat in Douglas North. The other candidates standing in Douglas North so far, MHK Ralph Peake and John Wannenberg. Now, Kevin Oliphant-Smith stood in last year's by-election for Douglas South, was unsuccessful a year before. He missed out during a Maloo Commissioner's by-election, and in 2016 he was a Douglas councillor for 6 weeks before he stood down. Here's Kevin Oliphant-Smith on his policy priorities.
So, at the moment, what's driving up housing prices is off-island investors buying up new builds.
Do you know that for a fact?
I've spoke to many estate agents. I've recently just got a house in Governors Hill. I've got friends who are estate agents. So, this is kind of my point across the board. I've got connections in every single department and sector.
But that's anecdotal evidence at the moment. That's not hard evidence.
It is hard evidence because I've had them saying to me they've had people literally look on their websites. This is during COVID. And because of the press of the Isle of Man during COVID, they've sort of gone, that's a great place. They've gone on the website, cash payment, bought it without even seeing it. You know, they've looked on the website and bought it.
So would you limit buyers from off-island if they aren't domiciled here?
I wouldn't limit that. I would limit the usage of the property. I would want to know what's the purpose of this purchase.
So no buy to let, for example?
I think it would have to be monitored and restricted in certain cases, because what we've got is we've got new builds being built. For example, 440,000 Hartford Homes recently advertised them to investors. They were built and promoted for investors. Now, those properties have now been purchased and they're being rented out for $1,600 a month. Now, not many people on the Isle of Man can afford that rent.
Well, do you think it's actually income as well that's a problem here?
You've got to be very careful, because if you start increasing income and putting the minimum wage up, things like that, the minimum wage does need to come up. But if you carry on putting it up and up and up, everything else is going to come up to meet that. So that's not really a long-term solution. You need to put restrictions in place to put the island residents first and to make homes for those residents, not investments for development companies.
Well, some have suggested that the simple solution to this problem is to build more homes. What's your answer to that?
I mean, I think, first of all, we should be looking at the brownfield sites. There's a lot of old buildings there, I think, that could be either knocked down and used. Those sites could be used.
But they are more expensive for people to develop on. How would you get over that issue?
Right. I mean, I know there's a lot of issues being looked at now. There are a lot of greener new builds being looked at. And actually, there was one in the press recently that you may have seen, a gentleman that's built an eco home in Douglas. And that's very, very interesting to look at. And the price he did that for was amazing. Unfortunately, again, I think that would be taken advantage of by the developers and they would knock a few hundred thousand on top of that.
Do you think government needs to intervene more strongly in this market?
Yeah, to protect our island and protect our residents and their future homes, yes.
Well, moving now then to education. What is your key policy with education?
With the likes of the primary schools, for example, I know that especially in Douglas, they are bursting at the seams. Even though we've recently had some new schools built in Douglas recently over the last few years, they're over capacity now.
So we need to build new schools?
Unfortunately, if we're going to promote the Isle of Man as a place to come and live and work, we need to make sure we've got an infrastructure in place for those people that come here. Because no one's going to want to come in here if they can't get their kid into a school or a doctor's appointment, such as this.
The infrastructure around those schools, but new ones as well, to clarify. You do think we need a new secondary school in Douglas?
You'd have to. I mean, the schools that I'm talking about, I don't want to mention them, but there's no possible way you could build on them. That they're literally stretched.
We'll move to improving health services. Now, you mentioned your work in the DHSC. Manx Care has come in. How would you improve health services?
Yeah, so I've got to be careful because I work for Manx Care at the moment. However, I've spoken to the board several times in the last couple of weeks, and there is a change being seen on the ground. Staff are, and this isn't from me, this is doctors and nurses, are feeling more listened to now. And, you know, Manx Care seem to be listening, which is really, really good. So I think it'll take a while before we see some big changes, but it is coming.
The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
Kevin Oliphant-Smith standing in Douglas North. Regarding vaccines, says Gordon, no, they're not compulsory for anyone. However, if I want to travel to certain countries, I've got to comply with their vaccine requirements or, well, we have the same choice. The percentage of people with genuine medical reasons not to be vaccinated is tiny. The responsible decision, says Gordon, is to be vaccinated. It's my choice, likewise, to do certain jobs. I'm obliged to have certain regular vaccines. Well, that's Gordon from Ramsey and his word. I'm going to get in touch out of hours, by the way, over the weekend. Maninline@manxradio.com. Call the answer phone on 682-631. If you're heading for the parish walk tomorrow, I do wish you well. Hope everything goes just the way you want it to go. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. Have a great weekend.